I've got good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Still? Great. If you've got a Bible, turning it to the book of John chapter 14. And you know, we read a passage last week where Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away, but you can't come with me right now. But he ended it by saying, but you do know the way. And in verse 4, Jesus says, you know the way to the place where I am going. But Thomas, who was one of the 12, he said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? That was his question. And Jesus replied back to him, and this is the context for this famous saying that we all should have memorized. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Will you say it with me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. How many know Jesus this morning? You know, and not just know about him or know his name. I wonder if you have a relationship with him. And so Jesus gives us this wonderful promise, another one that we can build our whole life upon. If you want to know God, then you got to know Jesus. We know God through the person of Jesus Christ, who came into this world. He was God incarnate. He was God in the flesh. If you want to know what it looks like to have a relationship with God, listen to the things he says and watch the things he does. And so follow after him. And the more we follow after Jesus, the closer we get to the Lord. And I know this can be confusing, and I don't want to get into a long talk about the Trinity and how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are related. And yes, I do know that we come to God the Father through Jesus, but both Jesus and the Father are God. Today, I just want to talk about having a relationship with him and what it means to get close to him. And so he says, if you want to know my Father, if you want to know the way, because that's what Thomas was saying, I want to know the way, he says, then all you need to know is me. Because I am that way, that truth, and that life. And so the first word is that Jesus is the way. The word way is hados in Greek. It means road. It means like a path. Literally, it's that word for a path or a road. So in the figurative sense, just like a road or a journey can be also kind of a word picture for our life. You know, how we're going to live our life, the journey that we're on. How many have discovered life as a journey? It's up and down. It goes this way and that. It winds around. There are obstacles. There are joys along the way. There are pains and hardships. But Jesus is using that whole journey is only made richer when you have me in it. Because I am the way. I am that path. The more you know me, the more you're going to know the Lord. And so Jesus doesn't just tell us the way. He is the way. He is the one. When we get closer to him, he helps us to find our way, to find that path, to find direction in our life. He gives us the encouragement to keep going when we want to quit. He gives us the ability to know right from wrong and left and right and which way to turn. I call it driving by the force. Molly wants me to use my GPS, but sometimes, don't you remember when when Ben told Luke, just turn off the goggles and just trust your feelings? By the way, not a very good way to find your way around in Portland, but I have not found my feelings are always the best guide, but I have found the Holy Spirit to be an excellent guide. And he lets me know things that I know I'm too dumb to understand by myself. And he guides me, and he gives me words of wisdom, and he gives me words of knowledge, and he gives me prophetic words. And I believe he does that with every child of God, if we know how to listen. So you might say, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I've ever heard God speaking to me or guiding me. So then my follow-up question is always, when's the last time you listened? You say, well, I pray. I know, but do you pray? Is it a one-sided conversation or a two-way conversation? And so I don't know if you've ever gotten on the phone with somebody. I know this is becoming an old-fashioned illustration because all of you just text. But Have you ever gotten on the phone with somebody and they start talking and then they end the conversation and you realize that you never got a word in edgewise? They just did all of the talking. They had a lot of stuff to say. I wonder what God hears when we pick up the phone. I wonder what it's like. It starts with, "Dear Jesus," and "In Jesus' name, amen." And we just did this the whole entire time. How is he supposed to speak to us if we never listen? The prophet Isaiah said something brilliant to me, and it's a call to the whole nation of Judah. He says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying," what? "This is the way. Walk you in it." Oh, I said it King James way. Walk in it. "This is the way. Walk ye in it." It's an imperative. And so we need that voice that says not only this is the way, but to walk in it. What does that sound like? Any Mandalorian fans in this place? So you got it as soon as I said it, didn't you? Oh, they stole everything from the Bible. But if you don't know the Mandalorian, it's just this guy. He's not really a Mandalorian, but he wears the armor. It's a guy from Star Wars, and he wears this shiny space suit. And in the Mandalorian code, you never take off the armor, ever. You never let anybody see your face, except he does it several times. So I don't know. I guess it's more like it's more like a guideline than an actual rule, right? Don't take off the armor. But they have this saying whenever they remind each other of the Mandalorian way. What do they say? That was such a geek test. And this whole section right here passed with flying colors. They said it in unity. Did you hear that? I couldn't get them to recite John 3:16, but they know the Mandalorian creed. No, I'm just... "This is the way." All right. So you know they can memorize. "This is the way." And so this is what the Bible is meant for, to remind us, right? Think about how much better our lives would be if we just followed the way of Jesus. You know, for a while it was a fad, but it ought to be metaphorically on our wrist all the time, this little rubber band that says, "What would Jesus do?" What would Jesus say if we just lived our life like that and reminded each other, "This is the way. I know I want to do it this way and I want to do it that way." You know, we learned something very important during the pandemic is that absolutely nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody does. Doesn't matter what side of it on. I could tell you all to eat ice cream and you would not eat ice cream just because I told you to do it. But to follow after Jesus means at some point that we adopt the way. Did you know at one point in the New Testament, the Christian faith or the Christian walk was called the way? Before it was called Christianity or before it was called the church, it was called the way because it's how we live our life. And so it doesn't do any good to know the way if we don't walk in the way. This is so self-explanatory. I told you when I began, I think it's foolhardy to try to add some deep significance to something that Jesus said because he already said it the best way you can say it. So I'm just leading us on a little bit of a devotional today where we can just kind of meditate on that word. What does it mean to follow after him and to know the way? Jesus used that word also in this verse. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And so there is a way that leads to life. And what is that way? Well, we follow after Jesus. He explained it to us. It's the path of humility. It's the path of giving. It's the path of serving. It's the path of loving each other and just following after his example. And there is such a blessing that comes when we just know the way. And friends, I gotta tell you, if you're one of the types that needs to be hit on the top of the head with a 2x4 in order to listen, you might miss it. That's called going on the broad way. A lot of people go on that. The narrow way is somebody that says, "Lord, I want to listen." In the Bible, there's a great story of Elijah, and God took him up onto the mountain, and there was this great storm and a whirlwind, but the voice of the Lord wasn't in all those things. He didn't shout at him, but he says, "Listen, if you want to hear me, you've got to be listening for a Do you know it? A still, small voice. He doesn't yell at us. He whispers. And you got to slow down enough to be able to hear him. Otherwise, he can be yelling until he loses his voice. And you won't hear a thing that he has to say. It almost reminded me, and because Thanksgiving is coming, reminded me of this scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So watch this for a second.
The race.
Sarah! Don't race. That's ridiculous.
All right, come on. Let's go. Let's go.
Put your window down!
You want something?
He's probably drunk.
You're going the wrong way!
What?
You're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Oh, he's drunk! How would he know where we're going?
Yeah, how would he know? Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you. What a moron.
You're going in the wrong direction. You're going to kill somebody. You're going the wrong way!
What? Truck?
Why?
Does that remind you of anybody? If it doesn't, be careful, because it just might be talking about you. Is it hard to get through to you? Does the Holy Spirit have to shout and scream and tell you through 500 different people something and you still just can't hear it? I think what Jesus is calling us, he says, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you would just listen, he goes, if you just would have a heart to listen and to know me more, you would know the Father as well, and you'd know the path. You'd know the way that leads to life. And so the second part is not only following the way, but knowing the truth. And it's interesting to me because as someone that studies the Bible a lot, I want to always, I tend to gravitate when I hear the word truth, to think about truth as like a logical proposition. Like it's a statement or it's a doctrine or it's a belief. But maybe even a fuller definition of truth is truthfulness or trueness. And so it has to do with our belief systems and the things that we know to be true about Jesus being our Savior. It has to do with those things, but it also has to do with the people that we are. The trueness of us, that we would be true to the things that we believe. You know, there's a phrase that we use even in the recovery community. It's one thing to talk the talk, but it's another to. You could just preach this whole sermon for me. You got to walk the walk. Does your life match up with your belief system? And I had a brother many years ago, and you don't know who it is, but he came to me and. After he had had an affair and ended his marriage. And he said, you know, and this, by the way, this was somebody that had walked with the Lord and been a leader for many years. And he came and sat in my office and he says, you know, Mike, I went to a counselor and he said, you have a problem. He says, what? He says, you have cognitive dissonance. And I thought about it because I know the English language. I said, that just means you have wrong thinking. I said, I could have told you that and saved you all of that money. You have wrong thinking because you've been reading and teaching the Bible for decades, but the Bible hasn't become true in you. Because one of the very foundational things is about how we walk in integrity in our relationships with each other. Friends, it will not save you. The Bible won't save you just by sitting on your shelf. The Word of God won't save you. The fish on the back of your car will not save you. But His Word, His truth, will save you if it becomes true in your life. But hear me? It's not just the words on the page. It's that the words on the page change the people that we are. And so when people came to Jesus, they would notice this about Him, even more than Jesus was a wise teacher, because He was the wisest. But even more than that, and even His opponents would say about Him, they'd say, they came to Him and they said, Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. Oh, man. We know that you aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And so it was partially about His teaching, but listen to what they noticed about Him. They said, you're not swayed by others because you're a person of integrity, of truth. We know you don't just talk about it, but you live it. How many know, moms and dads, that our kids are going to pay more attention to what we do than what we say? They're watching to see if you really do believe what you're preaching and what you know up here. Does it come out through your life? I don't know if anybody else is so glad the elections are over. I'm sorry if they didn't go the way that you wanted them, and I'm happy if they did go the way that you wanted them. I'm just tired of the commercials. I could not wait for those stupid commercials to get over. And now everybody's wringing their hands and wondering who got the polls wrong. And, you know, because a lot of people thought it was going to go different. And it's just amazing to me every time how they can be so confident and so wrong. You know, you can be very confident and very wrong at the same time. Did you know that? And I know this is, If that's you, it's nothing I've said this morning has sunk in at all. It's been bouncing off your forehead all morning long. But sooner or later, all of us need to get to the place where we decide that Jesus is going to be right. That Jesus is going to be right. If it comes down to Jesus versus me, He wins. He wins. I'm going to do it His way. I'm not going to do it my way. Because he's the one. And all of these politicians, they govern by opinion polls. How many know opinion polls can be wrong? And so Jesus never took a poll. Did He ever take a vote and say, how many people here out of you 12 wants me to go to the cross? Did He do that? He didn't. You know, Elijah on the Mount Carmel, it was him versus the 450 prophets of Baal. He would have lost that election. He would have lost that opinion poll. You remember when they brought Jesus out and Barabbas on the other side and Pontius Pilate says, which one do you want me to release? The majority said, release Barabbas and kill Jesus. The majority isn't always right. There's another place in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul was on this ship and he told them not to sail and they took a vote and they decided to sail. And guess what happened? The shipwrecked. The majority isn't always right. You know, the majority says one thing, but we need to know what the truth is. I just want to know the truth. And sometimes, hopefully, I can find a group of people that see it the same way, but I've just decided I want to be a person of the Word. And if I think it's one way and God's Word thinks it's another way, I've decided in my heart to do it His way. And that's because He is, for me, the way, the truth, and the life. I wonder if He's your way and your truth and your life. Isn't that great how people say that nowadays? Well, I'm just living according to my truth. It's like my truth. I've decided years ago that I'm not going to live by Mike's truth. I'm going to live by Jesus' truth. And I want to follow after Him. It's all about Him. He's the Lord of my life. You know what that means? That means he's the boss of me. I wonder if you've made Jesus the boss of you. If you've said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life, not just occupy the back corner of the house where I can come and visit you every once in a while, but I want you to come in and be the boss of me. And it's a whole different thing and a whole different attitude. And the hard part is, if you've ever tried to do this, and this might just be a little bit of coaching for Thanksgiving coming up, but have you ever tried to convince somebody that doesn't want to be convinced? You know, it's like teaching a pig to fly. You ever try to teach a pig to fly? It's two things happen. It doesn't work, and it just makes the pig angry. It just makes them mad at you. And so you might be gearing up. You might have even been writing down verses that you're going to hit your relatives with at Thanksgiving. And I'm just going to tell you, I've never met somebody that was won to the Lord by losing an argument. Have you? They come to the Lord because they find something they need in him. They find restoration, or they find freedom or deliverance, or they find hope. They find direction in their life. And so I know this, that there's more to life than just being right. There's more than the Christian walk than winning an argument. When he says, I am the way and the truth, people are going to know what you believe because of the kind of person you are. And so Jesus told the Jews that had believed in him, Jesus said, if you know my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then listen, and then you will know the truth and the what? And the truth will set you free. And so we have this wonderful opportunity just to be a family and just to reach out and show somebody what it looks like to be the genuine article. I think that's a great other synonym for that word truth, aletheia. It means to be genuine, to be real. And Christians don't have to be perfect, and they don't have to be holier than everybody else, super supernatural and super spiritual. They just have to be people of genuine faith. And so what you believe, let it come out through your life. Amen. The last thing he says is that I am the life. Oh, did we read that? I am the life. Jesus didn't just talk about it, but he lived it. The word for life is zoe. It's where we get the word zoo. It means to be living, to be alive. I wonder if anybody's alive this morning. I love that line from Braveheart. No, I'm not going to show it. But his girlfriend comes to him and he says, but if you do this, you might die. And he says, everybody dies. Not everybody truly lives. All right. And my Scottish accent is almost as bad as Mel Gibson's because it's terrible. But he says, not everybody truly lives. Isn't it true? I'm not just talking about having breath in your lungs and being able to walk upright. I'm talking about really living your life. And Jesus says, if you come after me, you'll discover something. You'll discover a life that you never knew was possible. It makes everything come back into alignment. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, who were the experts and the teachers of the Bible in his time, he said, you study scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and to have life. He says, you can know it in your head. And these guys knew it. They were experts in the scripture. But you can know it in your head. But the transition becomes when you actually begin to live the life. When his words become incarnate in you. When they become that breath. I love this. Even the word zoe and the Old Testament word is chi for life. But it's more than just, you remember when God breathed life into Adam? Life is more than just having brain functions and having breath in your lungs. But that breath that came in was the very essence that made them alive, that made them human. It was that breath of God that came into them that made them human, that made them who they are. I wonder if anybody needs a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit in their life this morning. Just that life to be rejuvenated. I have found this, if you live long enough on this life, two things are going to attack you: gravity and age. And with all of those things, there comes scars, there comes pain, there comes fatigue. Somebody right now is saying, I thought you said you had good news for us, Pastor Mike. We know all of these things. I know. But if you're just feeling a little bit run down or a lot of bit run down today, I want to just remind you of who the way, the truth, and the life is. He really does breathe life into us that's impossible to get by any self-help regimen. It's impossible to get with health and diet, although those are very important. But there's something that we get. Our spiritual person can only be fed by that spiritual God, by that God that fills us up from the inside out. The church fathers used to call it the divine spark. There's something in us that just begins to encounter and to experience that we were created in the image of God, that we aren't gods, but we have God in us, that we have a relationship with Him. Jesus says, if you know me, you will know my Father. That's His promise. It's a faithful one. If you know me, you will know my Father. You will. Because I will come in and I will be inside of you. I will restore you. That means if you know Jesus, you have this, you have His forgiveness in you. If you know Jesus, you have His grace within you. If you know Jesus, you have His joy within you. Say, Pastor Mike, I don't feel very forgiving. That's all right. You run out of forgiveness, ask Jesus for some of His. Jay Leno used to have a Dorito commercial. You remember it? He'd eat a chip and he'd say, munch all you want, we'll make more. I love that part. I say, the Holy Spirit is saying this morning, if you run out of love, reach back and borrow some of His. You run out of patience, borrow some of His. If you run out of courage, borrow some of His. He fills us up all the time with those good things so that we can keep doing what we're called to do. And so the Apostle Paul, and I'll end this in 1 Timothy, he told Timothy, who was a pastor, he says, remind people, I'm telling you the part that leads up to it, he said, remind them to be rich in good deeds and to love one another and to give and to be generous and to share with everybody. And he says, in this way, they will lay up for themselves treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they might take hold of the life that is truly life. The true life. Not just surviving, but thriving. To be able to just understand that blessing of the Lord. And guess what? The promise is still on. It's still good for us. We had a wonderful this last week. Our church staff went away for a couple of nights to the beach just to bond, to hang out. We didn't even talk a lot about vision and things like that. We just got to know each other. Several of our staff are new in the last year or two. And it dawned on me, it had been years. We used to try to do a staff retreat once a year, and it had been years. Pandemic and all sorts of other stuff and transitions, we just hadn't gotten to it. So we finally just got away. Wasn't it wonderful? Oh man, the weather, it was great here too, right? Down at the beach, it was just sunny and clear. We had this little beach house that had windows that overlooked the ocean. So most of the time we just sat there and watched the waves. And then there was one time, not yesterday, but the day before, where the sun started peeking through, maybe about an hour before sunset. And it was one of those God pictures. You know, like when the preacher tries to find a picture of what heaven looks like, and he always finds clouds and the sunshine peeking through it, you know. And it was one of those times, and I just said, oh, I got to go see this. And that morning, I had just been reading the passage in Genesis. I was reading about Noah, and I was reading through that story, and I've just been reading with different filters lately. I've been listening to the story behind the story and what they were going through. And I think some of those stories about Noah was just to remind them, even after the exile and then every season they went through, that the promise is still on. And so Noah gets out of the ark and he makes this sacrifice, and then he looks up and there's a rainbow. Now, you know, what he said is this rainbow, God tells him, this rainbow is to remind you that never again am I going to destroy all mankind. Never again are you going to be destroyed like this. And it was a promise that what you've gone through is over. There's a new season coming. There's a new season. And so I was seeing it in the house. I said, I got to get out there. And it was a little cold, but I went down on the beach right next to the ocean and looked up at these clouds and the sun rays coming down. I wish I could have taken a picture on my phone, but trust me when I tell you, it wouldn't have come out. Never does. You ever tried to take a picture of something like that? Because it's panoramic. You know, you can see in 3D. And it was just like, wow. This couple came walking by with their dog. And I said, isn't that amazing? And they said, yeah. I said, how can you see that and not believe in God? And they said, yeah, I know what you mean. I said, wow. And then I turned around, and on the other side over the house we were staying in was a big giant rainbow. I kid you not. I was just reading about the rainbow half an hour before that. And I said, how is that possible? I look this way and there's God come through the clouds. I look over this way and there's this reminder of the promise that there's a new season coming. Friends, I want to tell you, in every season of our life, if you listen, he'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you good things that you need to hear. He'll never lead you astray. He's not out to put you down. He's not out to make you feel bad about yourself. He's there to give you hope and to give you joy and to give you courage and to help you keep going down the road. Amen? Amen. Can we just pray for a minute? You pray with me. Lord Jesus, today, as we come into your presence, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us alone. You are my way. You are my way. I decided long ago, but Lord, if there's even just one of us here today that's been going our own way, we repent of it. Forgive us, Lord, for our stubbornness. Forgive us, Lord, for being hard to lead. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd soften our hearts. You are our truth. I don't have a truth apart from you. I just want to learn your truth more and more, and I want to be true to it. I pray, Lord God, that you would just minister and help me to be true. And Lord, I just pray right now for even one person that's run down, that is just strung out, that's just fatigued. I pray, Lord God, that you would come inside and just fill them up today. Breathe life to them, Lord Jesus. May we just, whatever it is that it takes for us just to experience you again, Lord, that you would revive our spirits again. And we just give you all the praise. And friends, can I ask, just while everybody's head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're here today and you just need to invite Jesus into your life, maybe you haven't just rejected him completely, but you know, it's most of it has just been going about your business and there's not a lot of room for him. But today you just want to say, Jesus, I just need you in my life today. I know there's one thing that's missing, and that's you. If there's anybody like that today and you want to invite him, would you just look up at me for a moment? Amen. Amen, brother. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you today. Oh, Father, would you just do this, friends, if you're able to stand to your feet for a moment and grab a hand next to you as we pray. If not, just feel free to pray from your seat. But let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. Fill me up by your Holy Spirit. I give you my life, everything that I have and everything that I am is on the altar before you. Be the Lord of my life. Be the boss of me. If you say it, I will do it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a clap off and just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Love all of you so much. Have a wonderful day. And hug a veteran if you see one.